Do you hear that? That's the sound of holiday joy at the Home Depot, where you can find everything you need to get ready for the holiday season, like all new festive outdoor decor. Spread more joy this season with holiday decor that is uniquely you, like our new 3.5-foot Santa and elf inflatable, each just $19.98. Available in-store and online. Oh, ho, ho. Get holiday ready right now at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on the 6th day of November, 2023. And boy, do we have a lot for you tonight, folks. Get ready, because believe me, these are the days which try men's souls. And tomorrow is a huge, huge day for the state of Ohio, as we stand in the presence and the shadow of the living God. And so tonight we have with us, way out yonder, that legend, the Missouri legend, Pastor Joe Larson.
Well, it's more like infamous Pastor Joe, but I'll go with it.
All righty, and we have our special guest tonight from Columbus, Ohio, in the Living Word Church, Pastor Kenny Haygood, or Pastor Jeff Haygood.
Yeah, Pastor Jeff Haygood, thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to raising up our voices tonight like a trumpet.
Let's do it. And on the board, our producer tonight is Kenny. Hey, Kenny.
Hi, Pastor. How you doing?
Okay, ready to roll tonight. So with that, Pastor Jeff, we're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 3 tonight, because this passage of Scripture really identifies, it really identifies where we're at and in today's society. And so as we start out, let's take it to verse by verse, all right? Pastor Joe, go ahead and do it. Let's do verse by verse.
This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work.
Okay. No, this is 2 Timothy chapter 3, Joe. 2 Timothy,
I thought you told me 1 Timothy.
In 1 Timothy.
Yeah, you're in 1 Timothy.
Yeah, I thought that's what you said. That's what I wrote down. Okay. Sorry about that.
Now everybody gets their Timothy's confused. Go ahead.
Yeah. Just know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come.
Now, what you were talking about over in 1 Timothy, it refers to in chapter 4, it refers to in later times or end times. In fact, the only two places here and in Peter where it talks about the last days, specifically meaning the very last part of the sixth dispensation period, the church age. So this is the period just before the rapture of the church takes place. And when he says that word perilous, and Pastor Jeff, you just jump right in. You have a comment or question. That word perilous, the way it's used here, it's only used one other place in the Bible, and that's in Matthew 8. And it actually means furious, or fierce, or furious. So he's referring to in the last days, furious times will come. And are we seeing that, or are we not seeing that today, especially with what's going on in Ohio and tomorrow?
Well, obviously, it's fury. There's so much, not only emotion, but it is a battleground like none other. The Bible tells in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly." That is the line upon which the battleground has been drawn. It's really a matter of life and death. And I was going door to door, trying to talk to people in our community concerning issue number one in Ohio. And it's been quite a while since anyone cussed me out. But I actually got cussed out and was told to go do things to myself that I wouldn't do to anybody, because this issue is just such. It is perilous. It is emotional. It's as intense as anything that I've witnessed from a moral perspective. Because I don't consider abortion to be political.
Let me ask you this, Jeff. Let me ask you this: these people that you talk to, is it because they really hold to they're adamantly pro-death and they're pro-homosexual, or is it that they've been listening to these very deceptive, outright, flat-out lies that the ACLU and people like this apostate preacher, this minister of Satan, Tim Ahrens, minister of Satan is who he is, who has been running these false commercials on TV. So is it because these people are really wicked to the bone, or is it because they actually believe these false commercials, or is it maybe a little bit of both?
Well, I think it's definitely both. Because to the pure, all things are pure, but to the impure, even that which is pure is defiled. So when these people's conscience have been seared with a hot iron, they reject truth naturally. It's almost like it's vomited out of their conscience. And so the Tim Ahrens, who is of the synagogue of Satan, and people like him that have the ear of these people, it's all wicked from it's breathed from the pit of hell. It is thumbing their nose at God, especially those within the religious community that bow to. And I'm sure I'm talking to a bunch of preachers here to this child sacrifice. Similar to what was done with the false god Molech in the sacrifice of children. Abortion is nothing more than the worship of Molech and the sacrifice of children that accompany it. And yes, times are perilous.
You're absolutely right. In verse 2, when he says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents and unthankful." Do we see just a total outbreak of narcissism here? When you look at these people that are promoting this stuff, in Spectrum One News, they weren't as bad as I thought they would be, because they're very liberal. They where it comes to promoting sin, but these TV anchors and a lot of these today, these rock stars, these basketball players, and do we see narcissism? Do we see people that are really in love with what they perceive themselves to be? Or do we see people that believe in what God's word, the Bible says, they were made in his image?
Well, let's think of it from this point. When we're talking in terms of the abortion issue, their phrase of choice is a woman's right to choose. And they are giving, when I say they, I'm talking collectively about the whole abortion lobby. They are giving a woman power, authority, and a right that nobody should have but God. A man, at last I checked, it takes two individuals to create a baby, but a man doesn't get a right to choose. This becomes woman worship. And somehow she becomes a goddess and she gets to choose who lives and dies. That's really dangerous.
You know what? I was talking to a woman one day, and here's what she told me. She said, this was years ago. She says, I'm going to give you the best advice that I can possibly give you. And she says, this is what, here. One, never trust a woman. This is what she told me. Never trust a woman. I know because I am one. We will all lie to you. I said, really? She said, yeah. Two, I asked her, why is it that these women are so adamant? Not the ones, there are some that really regret. They've killed their babies and they regret it. But what are those like Hillary and people like Whoopi Goldberg who brag? They brag about their right and how many babies they've killed. Why? What makes them do that? What makes, and you know what the answer was? They hate God. God is like the bad, evil father that rejected them, and they can't touch him. And the most they can do to us, to men, is to make us miserable as they try. So they take out their anger on the unborn, the most precious, the most innocent. What do you think about that?
Well, I certainly can't argue with that. I have actually, some of my dialogue with pro-abortion people, have asked the question, why do you hate children? And the retort is usually, well, I don't hate children. I said, well, if you want to take someone's life, it certainly is not the result of loving them. Murder, all murder, every murder is a hate crime. You can't murder a person without there being some hatred in your heart. Abortion is a hate crime. And so the people that engage in it and advocate for it, they not only hate God, but they hate babies who are a representative of God.
Well, they're the most favored by God. So naturally, they're going to the most innocent, and because they are, they're naturally going to hate the most innocent, are they not?
They absolutely are. And just to rattle their cage and ruffle their feathers and get under their skin, I certainly keep that bullet in the chamber to accuse them. I think it's an accurate accusation of hating babies. You think about this. I mean, since 1973, when Roe versus Wade became the law of the land, over 50 million babies have been aborted.
Way over. Let me tell you this, brother. I've been doing this now for 50 years. Like I told you, I was with Dr. Wilkie in the very beginning, and I've talked to a number of these people that have come out of the killing, the ones that ran these abortion mills, and every single one of them told me that it's a common practice. They only report one out of every two babies they kill. It's a common practice, and the IRS is aware of that and everything. This is what they tell you. So you can figure it's, instead of 65 million, it's double that.
Well, if you think in terms of that, you're talking a third of our current United States population. And I know Bill Gates says that we have too many people, but I think he's one of the most wicked people on the earth. He is a wicked villain of cartoon proportions as far as his desire to eliminate. And a guy that stands up and tells you, I want to eliminate at least half of the people that are in the earth, and I've got billions of dollars to pull it off, you know he's wicked.
Well, he's very, very wicked. And when there's warrants out for his arrest in certain countries there. And I've been on the radio for 50 years. Years ago, when he just started showing his evil, wicked head, he came up with this idea, these vaccines, and they were vaccinating these girls for the human papillomavirus. I sat in their meeting between the World Health Organization, Planned Predator, Sierra Club, and ACLU, and they openly were talking about how to depopulate the planet. And when they said that these girls, eight times more girls died from the vaccine than died from the papillomavirus, they applauded. That's how wicked they are.
Yeah, that is absolutely wicked. And here was one of my biggest concerns, Pastor, is that people that do what we do, pastors that stand up in their pulpits week after week and preach and somehow are either blind to the reality of what you and I are talking about right now or don't have the courage to stand up and open their mouth and call it out. Either way, the end result is the same. The enemy gets to walk around in plain sight and nobody can admit that we see him. Now, I see what's going on with the World Economic Forum, the globalists, the Bill Gates of this world, the Klaus Schwabs of this world. I see it, and I cannot ignore it. And because I cannot ignore it, I have to say something about it. Now, there may not be a million people listening day in and day out, but I'm going to shout it from the housetop because somebody's going to hear it, and somebody's going to be warned. Paul said he warned the church day and night with tears about grievous wolves coming in after his departure. And when you don't have sincere watchmen on the wall, all kinds of wicked teachings and behaviors and things can take place and nobody addresses them. Like the church overall, if the church really functioned as the salt of the earth and the light of the world, we would never have any of these wicked laws being enacted in our country. But if the church is silent, or if the salt has lost its savior, then the Bible says it's no longer any good for anything other than to be thrown out and trodden under the foot of men. And that's what we're seeing.
Well, you're talking to someone, Pastor Joe, tell him. He's talking to someone that's been, I've been hard on the pastors for the last 50 years. And I mean, I've gone after them because God's word, the Bible's very clear. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord, and it begins in that pulpit.
Amen. And from what I've seen, unfortunately, so many churches have become, I hate to say it, but safe spaces for Christians to kind of get away from the world. Everything is at peace. The preacher, you know, does a nice little sermon. They feel good. There's a lot of fellowship, a lot of shaking hands, and but very little real work for the Lord. Mostly a lot of I hate to say it, but dog and pony show type things. We'll donate a little here, a little there. But as far as real true faith and action, no, very little. It's kind of like the safe spaces for the woke colleges. And unfortunately, that's happened to the Christian, so-called Christian churches.
Well, you know, and go ahead and read verse 3.
Verse 3.
Without
natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good.
All right, now let me ask you this. Over in Jeremiah chapter 2, we read this in verse 34. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee. Now, so the Lord is telling him, look, by your own mouth you have condemned yourself here. I didn't have to look upon your hearts, okay?
Right.
And they're telling him, look, we didn't do anything wrong. What we did was legal. It was legal, okay? So, now, is there a difference between what could be legal and what could be lawful?
Legal in the eyes of the law of man, but not lawful in the law of God.
Okay, so which? All right.
The Supreme Judge of the universe says it's called murder, and he will hold you accountable. The law of man says abortion is legal in certain states under, you know, this statute, this requirement, and totally different world.
All right, without natural affection, let me ask you this. What will a mother grizzly bear do to protect her cubs, even from a male grizzly that weighs twice as much, twice as her size?
She will fight with everything she has to the death.
She will fight. What about What about a female wolf?
Oh, fierce.
Even she'll fight.
I've seen deer. I've seen gentle deer, doe, fight, just go crazy defending their little fawn.
And so here now, yet we have women who have become so wicked, that they'll actually carry, right now, that University of Pittsburgh, they'll carry their babies till, you know, full 9 months and give them, deliver a baby for the money and give it to them to be experimented on while they're alive. Is evil as evil gets. It's as wicked as wicked gets.
It's got to be self-hatred because they are also destroying a very part of themselves. And I don't think they realize there's to kill anything like that innocently. There has to be some self-hatred in yourself just to commit murder of extreme innocent.
I remember once go ahead.
Don't have natural affection, then any affection you have is unnatural. So you don't naturally love a child, but you may love your sexual promiscuity, your behavior. You love what created the child. You love the sexual immorality, but not the child itself. One of the reasons that we love our kids for various reasons, one of the reasons we love our children is because of the relationship we have with the mother or the father of the child. It's that relationship that produces that child. And that's why the child, we have that level of natural affection. But think about this. Because sex has become so casual and so commonplace, that the relationship between the man and woman who produced the child is only physical, then what comes from that relationship is not the recipient of natural affection. We just hopped in the bed and did what two grown people do. We produced the baby. We didn't love each other, and so we don't love the baby either.
Well, you're absolutely right. So let me ask you this now. People, you know, first of all, I was in a prison ministry. In fact, I'm still actually in it, not as active as I was, but going up to death row for 45 years. I went up there. We had, on a regular basis, prison ministry, and you know, the most highly regarded are those white crime, those that commit, as far as the inmates, the status goes, you know, bankers and or even. Hitmen, assassins are really highly admired in the prison system. But the least admired people are pedophiles. But there's one level below a pedophile, and that's an abortionist. When an abortionist goes to prison, they have to put him in solitary because even the pedophiles will kill him. That's how hated they are. Now, I've helped send a couple of those bloody abortionists to prison. But not nearly enough of them. Now, here, I really truly believe, since there are different degrees of punishment in hellfire, that there's a special hot place in hell for abortionists. What do you two men say?
Well, I don't know.
Go ahead.
If decision, I would turn the fires of hell up 7 times hotter than they would usually be turned for people who did something like that and slaughtered innocent children.
All right, very good.
All through the Old Testament, I'm paraphrasing, thou shall not, cannot, must not, will not shed innocent blood, and nothing could be more innocent than the blood of an unborn child, period.
All right, so now here, listen, I tell you the way it is, and I tell these people there, if someone in our church came to our church and they said, listen, that was my, I voted yes, it's political, that was my right, that person would either go before that church and ask for forgiveness and apologize, or that person would be totally disfellowshipped with. I wouldn't throw them out because they need to hear the gospel preached until they're brought to repentance. But that fellow or that person would be totally disfellowshipped with. So what do you two men say when they say, well, You have to separate your politics from your faith. What's the problem with that?
First of all, you cannot. And the number two, abortion is not a political issue. It is an issue that has been politicized. Abortion is a moral issue. Murder is a moral issue. It's not a political issue. So I think it is bait and switch with the terms. It's not political. It's by no means political. It is moral.
All right, you're absolutely right.
Clear back in the late 1800s, the Fabian Socialist Society, words were going to be the weapon in this new warfare. By changing and shifting words and meanings, they changed the debate, they changed the basis of everything. And when you change something from the Word of God and you start playing with definitions of what God has already defined, then you are what? At war with God and using words as the new weapon of warfare.
So let me ask you this question then. From Genesis to Revelation, every prophet, every priest, every preacher, every man of God, were their politics and their faith, were they inseparable? And especially the Lord Jesus Christ. They were one of the same, weren't they?
The best example of all, the faith and your politics had to be the same, because your faith is the basis of your worldview, how you see the world. If you have a biblical Christian worldview, you see the world God's way, not man's way. You are seeing the world through the correct eye.
And so, here,
honestly,
go ahead.
We're going to be salt and light. If the church is going to be salt and light, there's not going to be any area of society that we do not infiltrate and impact. There's nothing is going to be off limits to God's influence. So that would be, we talk in terms of the seven kingdoms of mankind. Every one of those, whether it's education, entertainment, finance, religion, whatever it is, God's word, God's kingdom has to get involved so they can have influence and ultimately have impact. You cannot convert anything you're unwilling to confront.
Absolutely. Hang tight. Exactly. We'll be back right after this.
We're fed up with the Green New Deal and the socialists who created it. We're fed up with the attacks on our fossil fuel and energy industries. We're fed up with an open border. We're fed up with human trafficking. We're fed up with fentanyl flooding our country. And we're fed up with illegal immigration. We're fed up with critical race theory. We're fed up with boys competing in girls' sports. We're fed up with... We're fed up with the liberal media, Twitter, Facebook, Google, and YouTube for blocking conservative speech. We're fed up with our government and universities censoring conservative thought, canceling debate, and rewriting history. We're fed up with the corruption in the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, the CIA, the NSA, and the FISA Court. We're fed up with mask mandates, vaccine mandates, the CDC, the NIH, the WHO, and the misinformation campaign surrounding COVID-19. And we're fed up with Anthony Fauci. We're fed up with the politicians and the elitists in D.C. who are getting rich while the middle class falls further behind every year. We're fed up with Joe Biden, with Nancy Pelosi. We're fed up with the January 6th Commission and those people who think that they can gaslight us. And we're fed up with Liz Cheney. As of November 8th, we're taking our country back. Thank you.
All right. Well, you know what? She said it for me. I am totally fed up with this. And I know you folks and all the people out there listening to me are tonight. And that is why it is so important. First of all, tomorrow, if you know people that you don't know, that you don't know whether or not they're informed, they understand. Like, I've been making calls to people because there are some people that I know that, you know, they really don't get it. And so I got to explain to them because they believe. They've been so indoctrinated, they believe the ads they hear on television. And I explain to them, and when they find out, you're kidding me. Really? I can't. Well, boy, I'm glad you told me. If there's anyone you folks know that you suspect is that way, you need to call them tomorrow here in Ohio. Believe me. Let's continue with this. Let's go to traitors, Haiti, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Let me ask you this. Lovers of pleasure. Obviously, that would include LGBTQ in there. And, you know, we have a saying for that, lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers. And as another, there's a pastor out there that says, let God burn them quickly.
It's all about sex, if you think about it. No matter what the LGB, whatever the letter, it all comes down to having some kind of sex, whether with...
illicit, illegitimate, sinful sex.
Right.
Abominable. Abominable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
It's twisted go pleasure. Ahead. If anybody here's, you know, I'm a heterosexual man, and I still have trouble fathoming how a man can have any kind of romantic pleasure engaged in a sex act with another man. But a person finds pleasure in that because there's something twisted, perverted in their heart.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, I believe the Satan himself, if you read in Daniel chapter 11, I believe that it is, well, obviously that comes, sodomy. Whatever God's word in the Bible says is good and honorable, decent and clean, like the marriage bed, of course, they're going to pervert it. Whatever institution God gave us, starting with marriage in the family, the left is going to pervert it. They're going to take something good, wholesome and clean, and make something dirty out of it. That's just what they do. And no matter what it is, they're in total opposition. This is what you have, this ACLU. I have here an article here, and this is from the ACLU, the research brief. Is sex work decriminalization the answer? If you go on, it's a long article, but they want to legalize pedophilia. They want to legalize sex with children.
They've been working for it, and you're hearing a lot of academics on college campuses that make statements like, the best way to introduce a child to sex is with an adult who actually knows how sex should work.
Yeah, I know. They're teaching this stuff. It's totally, absolutely contrary to the Word of God. So here's what I see happening. Should not, unless the Lord returns soon, I see America is on a road to a civil war. What do you think?
I talk about that quite a bit with my friend, and I would not be surprised if it happens. I mean, we can go down a rabbit hole here, but it's quite possible that between now and November 2024, something could spark that would be just what you described.
All right. Now, Antifa has said that they're not going to just be satisfied with burning cities. They're going to come out into the suburbs and shoot white children. Okay, now, how, you know, here, you're a black man.
And Antifa is white for the most part. That's what's odd.
Well, no, the other thing is black, listen, they had a Black Lives Matter. We call them burn, loot, and murder. They came out here. The Byrd Alert Murder came out to where I'm at to protest. Well, the Tea Party, we turned out twice as many people, and we weren't going to tolerate their protest. But here's the funny part about it. They only had one black person. They were all rich, young, mostly Jewish people, children from rich families, and there was only one black man amongst the whole bunch of them.
Yeah, rich white liberals that are—I don't know what's happened. They want to fit in or something. I've never understood why they turn on their own faith, their own people. Doesn't make any sense. But I guess that's what Satan does. What is it? The scripture said, deceiving and being deceived. So, as they are deceiving others, they had to deceive themselves long before.
Already, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Do we see that in people like Al Sharpton? Al Sharpton, mm-hmm. I heard him saying he was trying to tell us that God's word in the Bible condones abortion. And, you know, that's a lie from a liar. And there's not a bit of truth in Al Sharpton.
We see it all over with the new sodomite pastors, so-called, and the lesbian, married lesbian couple co-pastoring a church. You know, they call it a form of godliness. I think it's a form of insanity, but that's my definition.
Well, you know, and it's outfire, because you guys are probably Andy Stanley.
Brother.
It is Andy Stanley. He now is all but out of the closet. It happened with Rick Warren, who from Saddleback Church, that he's now very, very pro-homosexual. Apparently his son was homosexual. I don't know what Andy's issue is, but he had a big conference, and it was to promote, his inclusive. He makes statements publicly like, the homosexual community can show Christians how to love, and I think it is the epitome of perversion. And you want to talk about having a form of godliness? You guys are pastoring 20,000 and 30,000 member churches, and then elevating and speaking well of homosexuality.
Well, again, you've got a lot of these apostates out there today. Kenneth Copeland, I think, is one of the worst of all. But Joe Osteen, now here we read this: for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, led away with sins and diverse lusts. Now, the houses he's referring to are church houses. They're church houses that Paul's referring to. And these silly women today, if you look at the prosperity churches, when the camera pans over, about 70 to 80% of the people in these prosperity churches are women. And why is it? Well, we know that the enemy attacks men in the area of pride. That's where he attacks us. Where does he attack women, Joe?
There's certain, and if you'll look at those same audiences, you'll notice an awful lot of jewelry and low-cut outfits. Shorter skirts, extreme high heels, they're all going for their showpieces. They're going for the look.
Is there a lot of that open marriage thing amongst those in the charismatic movement?
That's what you read and see and hear, yeah.
Okay. And so,
honestly, go ahead. I think the real issue is there's not more people willing to stand up, even if it's people within your sphere of influence, people you've known for years, did certain things with, worked with in ministry, attended conferences with. When they go off the deep edge, if they have influence, it's almost as if everyone is muzzled and can't bring it up. And I'm not cut from that cloth. If something is being done that's contrary to God's word, it doesn't matter to me who it is. I don't have respect of persons. I have respect of principle. And so the principle is right, wrong is wrong. It doesn't matter who does it.
Let me ask you this. Is there any place in the Beatitudes where it says, blessed are the stupid? Because because the reason I'm asking you that is because you've got these people now. By the way, this Brandon Robertson, he's another one of those that's promoting illicit sex. But you've got people like this Kat Kerr. Have you heard of Kat Kerr? She is one of those. She is one of the Word of Faith prosperity preachers. She's telling people, her congregation, that she's been to heaven thousands of times. God lets her come up anytime she wants to go, right? Now, you've got you've heard of a guy named Jesse Duplantis?
Oh, yeah.
I heard Jesse Duplantis say, I heard him when he was preaching say that how often God will call upon him and ask him for advice. I'm not kidding you.
Okay. I think I heard Jesse say that myself on video. I did. And honestly, that is lunacy. That is mental illness.
Yeah, well, but some of those people in that congregation will say, what does God ask you to help him with? Now, like I said, here recently he's come out with even a better one. He has recently come out and said that Jesus was brokenhearted and sorrowful, and he needed someone to be a comforter. And he came to Jesse, and Jesse put his arm around Jesus, and he comforted him.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, yeah, I heard him say it. This,
that is unfathomable.
But like I said, stupid is as stupid does. I mean, it's just amazing here that we're living in such a.
The amazing thing is that anybody would actually listen. If I were in a room, in a church, and a guy got up in the pulpit and he actually made that statement, at that moment, I'm walking out and may have a few things to say on my way out the door, but there's no way I to that. Furthermore, there's no way I would throw one dime of God, the money that God has blessed me with, into someone who's speaking that level of heresy.
So now here's the answer. Here's why they're doing that. And he's referring to these women here, silly women led away with sins. Again, you see this, okay, and they play to these apostate preachers. They play to the fact that they play on their loves of pleasure and their greed. I went into one of those charismatic churches some years ago, okay. And I knew the pastor of the church. He said, you know, he was a tall, thin, kind of a nice guy. He's real friendly, but he really wasn't a pastor. His wife actually was running things, and it was one of those vineyard type things. And he had asked me to stop by, and I can't even remember what it was for, but anyhow, I stopped by there, and you walked in, and you ought to see what was going on. I mean, you had these people over here, and they're howling like dogs, and they're barking. And then over here, you had another group, and they're pointing at the people that are barking and howling, and they're laughing. Ha, ha, ha. Okay? And so then there's this young guy who's a young fellow, probably in his very early 20s. He comes out. And he runs and he jumps into the wall. And he falls down on his back like a fish out of water and he flops. And then he gets up and he does it again. And then you had the finale, the grand finale. You heard these people coming out of the back room. And you had these guys and they had ropes tied around the necks of these women. The women were bent over like they were walking on all fours, And they were mooing like cows. Moo. Okay. And I says, what is this? I asked them, what is this? They said, this is the Holy Spirit. This is the working of the Holy Spirit. And I said, this is not the working of the Holy Spirit. This is absolute lunacy. This is insanity. Don't try to blame anything like this on the Holy Spirit. And so, but that's a part of that charismatic unit. And again, like I say, they target women like they've done in so many things. Today, this whole these drag queens are just to discredit, just to make a mockery of women. These trans things that go into female sports, they have no business to trying to go in there and competing with women, but it's to degrade and belittle women. The idea is to show you just how insignificant these women really are. And here's the strange thing about it. This type of stuff is embraced by the feminist. It's embraced by the feminist.
It is. Here's the interesting thing about it, because we've all witnessed four or five times in the last couple of years that one publication after another, one group after another, has named a biological male woman of the year. And
yeah.
Then you have a gentleman, then you have a person who resides at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, who takes these same type of people and puts them in high office in the administration, which says to the nation, you see, this is what you need to do if you want to be in a really esteemed position. You have to be a man that dresses like a woman, and we're going to celebrate you.
And that's what they've done in our military, Austin and Millie. They brought out drag queens. They made drag queens in the USO shows. It's absolute evil. It's insanity, isn't it? It's they've become totally reprobate, have they not?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I wanted to note is, and you guys probably have noticed this, there is an interesting, twisted, symbiotic relationship between the homosexual community and the abortion lobby.
Oh, yeah.
They're very strange bedfellows.
Well, the first plank of the homosexual manifesto is free and unfettered abortions for all. And what does a sodomite need with an abortion? But it's the number one plank in their entire manifesto.
Again,
by accident.
They hate God. They hate God. Right. They can't touch him. They hate us, but the most they can do to us is make us miserable. So they go after the ones that are most highly favored.
They go after our children is what they go after, really.
Absolutely.
Everybody wants the children. They want the boys. They want the girls. What do they want them for? They want them for sex.
Absolutely.
For pleasure.
Hey, Jeffrey Epstein, if you live here in Ohio, you realize Jeffrey Epstein lived right here in Central Ohio with Les Wexner on Les Wexner's property. Les Wexner is the one who purchased his penthouse in New York City, and his black book has never been divulged. But just about everybody who is somebody in public life at the top of the food chain was flying to his private island to have sex with kids.
We sent out in our newsletter, here was a picture from Epstein's island with Bill Clinton, Epstein, what's his name, Prince Charles, or not Charles, and also,
it's Prince Andrew.
Prince Andrew and Justice Roberts from the Supreme, the Chief Justice.
Absolutely. His name has come up multiple times in Epstein's logbook.
Yeah. And so
the funny thing is they tried to connect Donald Trump to Epstein, and the only connection that they had is that Donald Trump kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago for making a pass at or an attempt at someone's teenage daughter.
Some years ago, going back to about, oh, it was around, well, it was in the late 90s when Bill Clinton had just got out of office. When did he get out of office?
He got out in 2000, I believe. That was George W. Bush against Al Gore was 2000.
Now, I remember them interviewing Donald Trump, and they asked Donald Trump, what do you think about Bill Clinton? And Trump's answer was, he's a nice enough guy, Bill is. They attended each other's weddings, but he says he needs to stay away from that island. That's a very, very bad place, and very, very bad things happen there. And Bill needs to stay away from there. And that's what I heard him say it back then. And, of course, we knew what was Epstein's Island. Things were so bad. Joe, remember how we used to say there's things that are happening there that we can't tell you about, because if we tell you about them now, you're going to think that we're crazy, because that could never happen in America.
Exactly.
You're going to say, and so... we had to actually wait and little by little try to tell people and bring it out.
What was going on? We said there are bad things. And, we've had to do that on a couple of things. So many people thought we were nuts when we started trying to explain this cultural Marxism, how they were coming up with the lies and deceits, and how they were, you know, using political correctness. And, well, we were right on that, too.
Absolutely. We're going to be coming up to a break, and then after the break, we're going to take a look at this issue one. We're going to take a look at eight things about it, actually more than that. Eight reasons to vote no, 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 folks. And you need to call everyone you know tomorrow morning early if you know they haven't voted, and tell them they've got to vote no on issue one. It is a nightmare. It is an absolute nightmare. So when we come back, we're going to tell you some of the horrible things that is in that. And again, the ACLU, the Antichrist Liars Union. Pastor Jeff, for the last two weeks, I've invited any ACLU lawyer out there, anyone that had even a little bit of credibility, even just a little bit of integrity, to come on here and debate me, but they won't do it. They'll make up those ads, those ads that are nothing but filled with deceit and lies, and they're running them on, and they need to be sued. They need to be brought to accountability for the deception that they're put out there. And then we need to really have all the people out there tonight praying. In fact, I can tell you what, Jeff, when we come back, we're going to start off with you leading us in a prayer. We're coast to coast here, Jeff, having people pray for coast to coast. In fact, we're in other countries too. And everywhere we're at, having people pray that issue one goes down tomorrow, and issue two, that they both go down tomorrow.
Amen.
And so when we come back, and then after that, after we go through these reasons, then we need to open the phone lines and take some calls. So, all right, we've got about...
We can also bring up, there's going to be a huge election in Virginia. I think all the House, the Virginia House of Rep, and all the Senate is up. And the people there need to realize this will be almost as important as this issue one, because it'll set the stage for...
It is important, but we'll be right back after this, Joe. Don't go away, folks.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like,
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.